The gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that at the end of the world, that the angels will go out and they will separate the wicked from among the just. This is one of the various frustrating things that people look at in how God operates, and it's, why does God allow the wicked to be there? Why doesn't he just get rid of them? They don't want to do it his way. Why does he allow them? To make us saints, to help us to grow in holiness. Our Lord makes that clear in the parable of the people who came and sowed the tares in with the wheat. The slaves came and said, didn't you use good seed? Where'd all the weeds come from? And he said, an enemy has done this. When they asked, do you want us to go and pull them up? He said, nope, leave them until harvest. Otherwise, if you pull up the tares, you're gonna take the risk of pulling up the wheat as well. So we have to recognize for ourselves that very few of us are going to become saints because the people around us are really good people. Sure, it helps to have good example, it helps to have people who are supportive, but the ones who actually help us to become saints are the ones who force us to practice virtue. In other words, the ones who make it difficult for us. That's why the saints tell us that the people that we think are our friends, in the spiritual sense, really aren't. And those that we think are our enemies are really our best friends in the spiritual life, because they're the ones that force us to practice virtue. And so, as we go along and we see all of the evil in the world, we've always recognized that there's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to do it God's way, or are we going to go the way of the world? It's become more and more obvious as we have gone along. And tragically, what has happened is that Christian people have tried more and more and more to find a compromise. Let's see how much we can fit in the world and still call ourselves followers of Christ. Then we can complain and say, well, why doesn't God just get rid of it all? After all, if he took away all my temptations, I'd be holy. There'd be no temptations, and boy, I would just be so wonderful. No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have any virtue at all, but we just wouldn't have any temptations because there wasn't any there to help us to grow in virtue. And we would think that we were so wonderful. Sort of like that little thing that says, Lord, so far today I haven't been impatient with anyone, I haven't yelled at anyone, I haven't gotten upset with anything, but I'm just about to get out of bed, so I'm going to need your help. Well, it's the same kind of thing. If all the temptations are removed, there's no growth in virtue. So the Lord allows these people. On top of that, the other side of it is that it helps if we can bring them to conversion. Many of us can look at our own lives and recognize, I was once among that group of people that I might today be saying, why doesn't God just get rid of them? Well, if that's what he did, I'd been gone too. And instead, in his mercy, he allowed me to have that opportunity for conversion. Well, if we can look at it that way, then do we really want these people gone? Because maybe the good example that you or I can provide might save their soul. So they're there helping us to be able to grow because they're providing an opportunity for virtue. We can be there to help them to grow because of our example, because of how they treat us and how we respond. Reminds me of the story of the guy who was on a submarine. So, of course, they are in pretty close quarters, and he was roommates with somebody. One guy was a good Christian guy. The other guy was a total pagan, atheist. And the guy would just keep harassing this Christian guy all the time. Finally, one day, he'd had enough. And he just hauled off and beat him. And the guy just handled it and forgave him and prayed for him. And that's what brought the man to conversion, because he saw the way that this person handled things. And we know that that's the main reason why people become Catholic, is because the example of someone who is living their faith. Very few become Catholic because they read the Catechism or they read the Fathers of the Church. They become Catholic because they see our example. And then they might read the Catechism or the Fathers of the Church. But there has to be something that's going to bring them in the first place. And that's usually the way somebody treats them. It's the kindness that they have to have. And so that's something that you and I can do. So God again allows these people then for us to help them as they are helping us. Now their help may not be what we would like. We would like somebody to be really nice to us. We would like somebody to give us a boost. We would like somebody to be providing all of these good things. And these people usually do exactly the opposite. And yet, they are the ones helping us the most. So if we can see it that way, and then we can see that, you know what, if I can actually grow in virtue enough to handle what this person is doing, maybe that's precisely the means by which God is going to bring this person to conversion. May not happen today or tomorrow. Might not even happen for a long time. We don't know what seeds are being planted. People are watching. And it may not even be that individual who's treating us horribly. But maybe it's somebody else who was watching this whole thing just to see how we were going to handle it. And if we can rise to the occasion and handle it like our Lord, that's what's going to touch somebody's heart. And on the other hand, if we don't, and we all know how this works, they will use it against us. They do every time. They push and push and push and push and push until you finally get angry, and then they say, see, you get angry, why should I change? Because look, you're just like me. It's like, no, look at what you did to me to get me that way. No, they're not looking at it that way. They're just saying, look, you're just as bad as I am. So why should I become like you if you're just like me? So they're going to use it as a justification against you. You know that. And yet at the same time, we can use these things to continue to grow. They have nothing to use against you. In fact, it becomes the call to conversion for them. So it helps us and it helps them. That's what this is all about. At the end, yeah, the angels will sort it all out. We have our particular judgment at the moment that we die, and it is determined at that point where we're going to go, the angels will have to deal with the bodies. But in the meantime, we have to recognize why God doesn't just get rid of these people. Number one, because he loves them and he wants their conversion. Number two, because it helps us to grow in virtue. Number three, because we are the means by which these people are going to be converted if they will. So it's all for the good. And that's what we have to recognize. God brings good out of evil. Only God can. And so even when we look at these people who are living horrible lives or persecuting us or whatever it may be, we can see what God is doing with it. That's when we can rejoice and understand why God doesn't remove them, because it is all for the greater good.